Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When all your options are gone, what do you pray for? A miracle. At some point, we've all hoped for one. Miracles, what are they? And do we see them today? For an eye-opening look at the real deal on miracles, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer begins a series on seven convincing miracles, all taken from the Gospel of John. But first, an overview of miracles. Join us now for When You Need a Miracle.
I also know a marriage that needs a miracle. They're headed for divorce, two people who can't get along. I can't imagine any marriage that is more mismatched than the one that I'm thinking of. Perfectionist man with a woman, great dysfunctional family, the whole bit. It's terrible. We've prayed, we've counseled, we've agonized, but I don't give it much hope, apart from a miracle. We all know someone who is dying of cancer who needs a miracle, and if she does not get that miracle and get it very soon, she will die of cancer. All of this raises the question anyway, what is a miracle? What is a miracle? Let me begin by giving you a definition of a miracle that is popular but not very good at all. In fact, it's a bad definition. Some people define a miracle as when God intervenes in the world. It's a terrible definition because it gives the impression that God very seldom intervenes in the world. He's kind of just wound it up and he lets it go however he wishes it to go, and then only occasionally he intervenes. No, God is always intervening in the world. The reason that the law of gravity works is because God pulls a pencil down and it falls to the floor. God causes the wind to blow and says, blow or stop blowing. God is always at work in the world. A miracle is when God does something unusual in the world. That's why the ancient Puritans who understood that, they used to say that the laws of nature were simply the customs of God. And sometimes he does not follow custom, and he does something different. So a miracle is not God intervening in the world. A miracle is God doing something unusual in that intervention, something different. That's what it is. Let's take, for example, the law of gravity. You know that there's a law of physics that says that the buoyant force exerted by a liquid is equal to the weight of the water displaced. All that is technical jargon to say that if you put a piece of iron on some water, on a dugout or a lake or a river, it will sink because it's heavier than the water. Now, that's the law of gravity that God instituted, and God pulls that iron down to the bottom. Now, occasionally, not often, only once in history that I know about, God decided, I'm not going to do it that way. You know, the story, which you don't need to turn to, but read for yourself sometime, is in the book of 2 Kings, I think it's in chapter 6, where Elijah, who was a prophet, who was a miracle worker, he's going to the Jordan River, and some of the young men invited him, and they said, we want to build something there, come with us. And they are chopping down some trees, and an axe head falls into the Jordan River. And the young man whose axe head fell said, not only is it gone, but alas, he says, it was borrowed. One thing to lose an axe head, it's another one to lose somebody else's axe head. So he went to Elijah, and Elijah said, don't worry. And Elijah threw a stick into the water, of all things, and it says the axe head floated, and it came to the top so that it could be retrieved. Oh, now, that's a miracle. Because most of the time, God just lets that axe head sit there. Most of the time, he lets it go down to the bottom, and it doesn't float. Now, occasionally, God says, no, I'm doing these things moment by moment, but I'm going to reverse it, and this time I'm going to let iron swim on water. That's a miracle. It's a miracle. Now, of course, when we think of it that way, do the Cubs need a miracle? You say, yeah, definitely. But I don't think we necessarily would call that a miracle if the Cubs were to win a World Series. We might just say that they finally got real lucky. Or maybe they have a couple of Sammy Sosas some year, and they can hit that ball out of the park, and they can win. We don't call that really a miracle. But putting this marriage back together that I'm thinking about, I think that that would take a miracle, the direct intervention of God to halt the slide to which it is going. And certainly, if a person is on his deathbed and cancer has eaten through his or her body, yeah, that would take a miracle. Now, that's not necessarily the greatest miracle that God performs, as we shall see in a moment, but that would take a miracle to reverse that decline. You know, of course, that we live in an age of miracles. There are miracles all around us. When I was a little younger, 30 years ago, I was a little younger then, attending university, the great emphasis was on materialism. Everything is matter. Everything is atoms, and that's it. There was no belief in the spirit world. Today, everybody is into spirituality of one kind or another. Everybody's into his or her brand of miracles. I went to a public library and I checked out some books on miracles. I even checked out the book, A Course in Miracles, which you should never, 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 never read. I won't read it either, just glanced through it, wanted to say that I looked at it. You know how that book was written? The woman says in the intro, she says, a voice came to me and told me what to write. And that is a mishmash of demonism. And yet people say, well, you know, you can do your own miracle and you can actually take a course in how it's done. Checked out another book on miracles and wonders. Lists all kinds of things that apparently have happened. I have no reason to doubt it. A phantom dog appears out of the fog to take a family away from danger. A silent hitchhiker leads a doctor to a school bus crash. Guardian angels get a sick child to a hospital. As a matter of fact, one of them says that a truck driver on his cellular phone, I guess, or on his truck radio, he heard a message that came to him that someone on the highway needed help, and no one sent that message. The other day on television, there was a thing about statues that were weeping, and people were actually catching the oil of statues and various religious objects that you could analyze. Now, my dear friend, I want you to know today that we live in a day of the proliferation of miracles of every kind under every guise of religion. They're happening all over the place. Be discerning. Be discerning. You know what the scripture says? It says that Antichrist is going to do so many miracles that it will be unbelievable. Remember this, that the devil wants to do every single miracle that Christ has ever done. Every one is duplicated. You remember the greatest miracle that we may think of is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, one of the greatest. What does it say about Antichrist in Revelation chapter 13? It says he has a wound unto death, but the wound was healed, and the whole world marveled at the wound that was healed. And people will say, it's a miracle. Follow him. Listen to what it says about Antichrist. The coming, this is now in 2 Thessalonians, the coming of the lawless one will be, in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles. Now notice this carefully. Everybody awake at this juncture. Signs, miracles, and wonders, every one of those Greek words is used for the miracles of Jesus. Every one. Signs, miracles, wonders. And he's going to do them all. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, Jesus said that in the end time there are going to be so many different Christs and so many different religious teachers who will work such fantastic wonders that they will, if possible, deceive even the elect. Even Christians are going to say, well, it must be of God because the person was healed. The devil wouldn't heal anybody. Can't you just hear it? Of course he would. Of course he would if he could, and whenever he can, he does. Because he wants to imitate Christ and delude people and detract them from scriptural doctrine. If he can get them to go to a shrine where a miracle happened, what a tremendous victory that is. totally misunderstanding the gospel, misunderstanding spirituality, the whole thing, and people hoping that if you can get this particular oil from this shrine, it'll work. Lying wonders abound. So we must take care. Now, what I'd like to do today is to talk about one of the greatest miracles, in fact, the greatest. I think it's the greatest. Now, if I were to ask you, what do you think the greatest miracle is, what would you say? Some of you say, well, it has to be the creation of the heavens, the stars. Have you ever gone out at night and just looked at the stars? Wow. You know, we can only see a couple thousand, somebody told me. I always thought I could see more. I wasn't counting them, by the way. I was just looking at them. But, you know, the experts tell us trillions upon trillions, and those things are big and huge. They make our Earth look terribly small. And the distances are mind-boggling. I won't go into the details, but, you know, when God was creating the stars, you just simply say, you know, in the book of Genesis, it just says, oh, God created the worlds, and by the way, he made the stars also. You know, all in an afternoon's work. I want to say to myself, what was he doing? Was he just throwing a party? Do you really need all that many? Now, if you're not impressed with creation, if you say, well, it's no big deal, I have an assignment for you. Go into a laboratory someplace, particularly you scientists, and say to yourself, I'm going to bolt the door and I'm going to stay here until I have taken nothing and from it created at least something. Just do that. Create at least a single atom out of nothing. A single molecule. I mean, aren't you bright? Create something out of nothing and stay there until you've done it. I suggest you take your lunch along.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. If you take me up on that assignment, I can assure you that you will be in that room a long time. Simple fact is, we don't know how God took nothing and made something, but we know it happened. And the mystery of God is ever before us, but aren't you glad that through Jesus Christ we know him? When you read the Gospel of John, what you discover is that Jesus did seven miracles, and at the end of the book we're told why. The reason is that we might believe on him as the Son of God. I've written a book entitled Seven Convincing Miracles, Understanding the Claims of Christ in Today's Culture. Each of these seven miracles is explained, along with some information about false explanations for these miracles, and I hope that you take advantage of this offer. Ask for Seven Convincing Miracles, Understanding the Claims of Christ in Today's Culture.
Today, Erwin Lutzer introduced When You Need a Miracle, his first message on Seven Convincing Miracles. Next time, part two, with more insights on what real miracles are all about. Dr. Lutzer's book, Understanding the Claims of Christ in Today's Culture, details the seven convincing miracles of Jesus. It can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.